admit that I was wrestling this week of whether I should pick a special Easter passage. But as you can tell from the bulletin, I did not. That is not to say this is not an Easter message, but we are just going to continue on in the book of Luke. We are in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And you remember, of course, that we are reading through Luke because we want to walk with Jesus. We want to follow him. We want to experience what the disciples are experiencing. We want to see what's going on. We want to see what Jesus is doing. We want to hear what Jesus is saying. And so let's follow Jesus in Luke chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went up to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Right off the bat, we notice Jesus once again in prayer. Jesus is constantly in prayer throughout this gospel, whether it's as he's meeting the needs of the crowds or as he's preparing now to pick, you know, from the subject heading, the 12 apostles. Right? He's got lots of disciples. There's whole crowds following him. He's going to pick those 12 people that are going to be the foundation of the church, those people that are going to take on after he dies and ascends back to heaven. Who's going to carry on the work of the kingdom? Who's going to be witnesses to Jesus? And Jesus spends all night praying to the Father about this choice. I mean, how many of us have faced tough choices, and how much prayer do we put into those choices? I think we can safely say if Jesus pulled an all-nighter to pray to pick the disciples, pick the apostles, and if there's something going on in our life that we really need prayer for, I think it's humbling to think that if Jesus, the Son of God, need to spend this much time in prayer, how much time do we as just human beings need to pray? And I mean, I can't even put a pole all night or doing work, much less praying. And Jesus spent the whole night praying. Verse 13, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on this passage because I did preach on it before. You guys probably don't remember, but it was during a joint service a while ago. I did preach on this, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But this morning, what really struck me this week as I was reading this passage is, why these people? It seems like something is horribly wrong with Jesus' choice. And something is missing. Because you look at these people, and you're like, Jesus, I think you got the wrong people. You want to carry on your mission after you leave. You want to build a church. You want to reach the ends of the world with this message of salvation. Well, we gotta have someone with some riches. We gotta have some money. I mean, life is costly, and if we want to put forth this message, we gotta form this church. We gotta have means. We gotta have resources. We got to have at least one person that's really filthy rich, and we need some brains here. So we got to have someone who's, you know, Harvard trained, and he's got a PhD, and he can think out. He's like a genius. He's a visionary. He's got all the answers, and probably some muscle too. We got to have some, you know, strong guys, I don't know what this church going forward is going to need, but it's probably going to need some heavy lifting or some muscle, some physical power, and probably also some social power too, right? We should enlist some celebrities, right? You want to really, you know, have a cause today? You get celebrities, and you're like, oh, tell everyone about this cool thing. Make a commercial about it. People that everyone likes. And you're like, oh, well, if that person likes it, then it must be cool. It must be good. It must be right. But Jesus picks none of them. None of that kind of people. He starts out with fishermen. Peter, Andrew, James, John, all fishermen, unschooled, and if the English coinage swears like a fisherman is true, these were just really filthy men, not just because they smelled like fish, but because they were socially very low class. And you got other people that are completely unqualified for this position. You got the ex-tax collector that we met last time. You got a pair of brothers who later on, when a town rejects Jesus, they want to call it on fire to destroy the town. You got Simon the Zealot, who's a terrorist, who's trying to overthrow the Roman government in any means necessary, which usually means murder or riots. And these are the kind of people that Jesus picks, 12 of them, 12 misfits, 12 unqualified, 12 unpopular, 12 uneducated, 12 people without any means, and he puts them together. And he says, you guys are going to be the foundation of the church. Crazy. And these people shouldn't even be together in the same room. And not only do you got the guy that's the terrorist, you also got the guy that's the Roman sympathizer. You got the tax collector. These guys out in the rest of Israel would be, well, at least the zealot would be trying to kill the tax collector. They'd be trying to plant bombs, if bombs existed, in the tax collecting booths. And here, they're one of the 12 disciples. They're rubbing elbows together. They're walking with each other every day. How can this be? Even Thursday night before the crucifixion, Last Supper, I was listening to the Bible on audio as I was driving in, since I have a long drive, and even in the midst of the Last Supper, Friday night, we were going over the Last Supper and what happened. And even in the midst of that, the disciples are having an argument. Who's the greatest? Who's the number one apostle? I mean, there's 12 of you, but I mean, there's got to be one really, really good one. They're arguing about who's the best apostle, even in the midst of the Last Supper. And then Friday night comes. It's Friday. Jesus is taken away, and they all get scattered. They all run, except for Peter, who follows Jesus and denies that he even knows Jesus 3 times before the next morning rises. And he runs away crying. It's Friday. And then you fast forward in Acts. We were in Acts before Luke. And you see where the apostles are at. And you scratch your head. What happened? Like, you really wonder, like, did Jesus do a bait and switch? Like, here's these apostles and they're completely messed up. They don't know what any of the answers, they don't know what's going on. And then suddenly you get to the Acts and they're bold. They're speaking in public. They're debating the leaders and the teachers, and the leaders and teachers can't say anything back. And you have to wonder, like, is it the same people? And for wonder, the fact that, you know, the Jewish leader said, we recognize these people. They were with Jesus. They're unschooled. And yet they're powerful in word and deed. These 12 individuals, well, minus Judas, plus another one that got added on, beginning of Acts. These 12 people turn the known world upside down. What happened? Sunday happened. Sunday happened. I don't know if you've heard the name Tony Campolo, but he used to be a very well-known speaker, and he has a very famous sermon called It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming. It's based on a sermon that his senior pastor gave at his church in Philly. And he tells a story that his senior pastor got up there, and for an hour and a half, he would just say, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Hour and a half, it's Friday. The Romans have crucified my Jesus. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. And the Jewish leaders have thought they've won. They've crucified Jesus. But they don't realize it's only Friday. Goes on about this for an hour and a half. And you got to love African-American churches. You think this sermon's long? The hour and a half sermon times two or three other sermons in the same service. Now that's a jam-packed service. This is lightweight, right? But there's this contrast. Friday and Sunday. Friday, the disciples are quailing in their boots, sandals. They're afraid. They've got no power. They've got no education. They don't know what's going on. They're lost. But Sunday comes. And with the power of the resurrection, they get this power of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus applies to them. And they go out in power. They're preaching in the squares. They're preaching in public. They're turning the world upside down. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Just to apply this weekend to us, since it is Easter Sunday. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That is, in Friday, we participate in Christ's death, so that Sunday we may participate in his new life. Friday and Sunday. Disciples here in Luke chapter 6, they're on Friday end, and they're weak, and they're fragile. And they got nothing. But Sunday's coming. And Jesus is going to raise from the dead, and they're going to be clothed in power. Interestingly enough, I was reading a commentary, verse 6. It seems like all the disciples were chosen from Galilee. That is, you know, Hicks. I was going to say Hicksville, but that's a town in Nassau. They're from the boondocks, the rednecks, Jewish rednecks, except for one person, the most metropolitan, the most refined person, Judas Iscariot. Judas, which means from Cariot, which is not in Galilee. So the one person that was more cultured, was more affluent, was more metropolitan, he was the one who betrayed Jesus. Let's continue on. Verse 17. He went down with them and stood at a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cursed and cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because the power was coming from him and healing them all. What follows is Luke's version of the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Plain. I think it's probably a different sermon than the Sermon on the Mount. If you know any teacher long enough, you will hear repetitive teaching. Even when you listen to, I used to listen to Ravi Zacharias on the radio all the time when he was on the radio, and he'd constantly be like, oh, I know what illustration he's going to use now. And he keeps on using a lot of the same things because he preaches all over to so many different people. Teachers will always bring in the same material. And so why should it seem strange to us that Jesus, who taught thousands upon thousands, would not have two sermons that sounded similar? By verse 20, he looks at the disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets." Sometimes we may wonder, okay, we've gone through Friday and Sunday, and we should have the power that was in the disciples with us. Yet how come we still struggle? We still struggle in our own flesh. We struggle with our sin. We struggle to not give in to the ways of this world. We struggle not to cheat on tests or projects when it gets to be so much easier to just do what everyone else is doing and cut corners. Why do we have to face all this stuff, right? Sunday's come. Jesus raised from the dead. We've got this newness of life. We've got the Spirit in us. We should have joy. We should have power. And yet the reality of life seems different. It seems almost like we're still living in Friday. And it's because of something that some of you have not heard of before, but it is that Jesus' kingdom is already, but not yet. That is that Sunday has come. Jesus has raised from the dead. He's given his disciples the Holy Spirit, and we're clothed in power. We have joy. We've got newness of life. But yet, at the same time, Christ's kingdom is not fully manifest. While we're still on this earth, we still have to deal with sin. We still have to deal with our own fallen humanity. We have to deal with other people's fallen humanity. We gotta pay bills. We gotta take tests. We gotta figure out what to eat. We gotta get a job eventually. And we may feel that we're still in Friday. That's the experience of our lives. Even though we claim Jesus' power and our newness of life, yet we still feel we're in Friday. To us and to his disciples, Jesus gives this great encouragement. This great, great encouragement. Let's look at the top. Blessed are you who are poor. And of course, not meaning necessarily you need to be physically poor and destitute to get to heaven. Right? That would be works. Right? All I have to do is give everything away and become homeless, then I will go to heaven. That doesn't make any sense, because then the Bible's teaching about giving to the poor would be contradictory. In fact, the Bible should say, do not give to the poor. Because as soon as you make them not poor, they're going to hell. Of course, that doesn't make any sense. But the word here, poor, means destitute. Someone who is so down in their luck, they have no other recourse but to depend on someone else. They don't got any resources. They don't got any strength. Just to put food in their mouths, they have to depend on someone else. And so Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor. Right, it says he turned to his disciples. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to people who already are following him. Right, so this does not earn salvation. He's giving encouragement to his followers. He's saying, even though you feel it's Friday, a lot of you are poor. A lot of you don't have anyone to depend on. You feel your own strength is not enough. Be encouraged. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. For yours is the kingdom of God. Your Father is a king, and you are going to inherit a kingdom. You may be poor now, but in a life to come, you will be rich. And that's going to last an eternity. It's funny that he gives these things as blessing, because all these things that he lists, these are things that we would, if we saw someone with these things, these lists applied to them, we would pity them. Poor, hungry, weeping, hated. We would pity them. But Jesus says, if you follow me and these things apply to you, you're blessed. Blessed means favored by God. Next thing, blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed you hunger. Blessed are you who want something more. The things that this life cannot satisfy. Blessed are you when you're hungry. Or even blessed are you when there's not enough food to fill your belly. Because it's only Friday. Sunday's coming, and for you will be satisfied. You're gonna spend eternity with God, and God is going to satisfy all your needs and desires in perfect joy. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you who mourn. Blessed are you who see sin in this world and your heart just breaks. Or you see the sin in your own life and you just weep. Or even blessed are you who follow Christ, and it seems like this world is full of more sorrow than it is joy. Take heart. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming, and you will laugh. God will give you a heart of joy. He says in Revelations, he will wipe away every tear. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, when they insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Blessed are you when no one respects you. Blessed are you when everyone just writes you off as a nut job for the sake of Jesus. Blessed are you who are unpopular, because it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. Paul said that these light and momentary afflictions are not worth comparing to the weight of glory. And reading that, you have to say, Paul, do you remember what you went through? Being stoned is not a light and momentary affliction. That's a whole lot of pain and usually death at the end. Paul looked back on all the trials that he went through in life, all the suffering, and he said, light and momentary. Because it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Be encouraged, church. Be encouraged when your life doesn't seem that great. Be encouraged when choosing to follow Jesus seems to make your life harder. Which it kind of does. A lot of kids that I talk to right after they get baptized, they say, Pastor Dan, after I got baptized was the hardest time I ever faced. They never seemed to face the kind of temptations and battles, the spiritual struggles that they did before they got baptized. But when they put their foot down and said, I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ, all the attacks came. And life might seem harder, but it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Now, in the sermon, Jesus not only gives encouragement, but he also gives a warning. He starts out those, but woe to you who are rich. We said before, usually we would pity the people who are poor, weak, hungry, weeping, despised. But Jesus says, no, pity the poor. Woe means, man, I feel for you, you're going to go through some rough times. It's the opposite of blessing. Woe to you who are rich. As we read through the rest of this passage, I hope this is really convicting, because it's almost like Jesus is talking to America. Because the things that Jesus describes are pretty much the exact things that all of our ancestors came to America to find. Doesn't matter what generation, doesn't matter what ethnicity. Everyone came to America for the American dream. And it seems like God, that Jesus is describing here. He says, woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you when you've got all you need and you don't need to rely on anyone else. You think you got it all figured out. You think you got it all under control. You have no need for God. You have no need for Jesus. You've got everything your heart desires. Jesus says, but wait. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming, and these people are going to hear the words that are possibly some of the most saddest words you can ever hear. You've already received your comfort. They're going to get to the judgment seat. And as they stand on the precipice between heaven and hell, God is going to tell them, you already got all the grace and all the things and all the joy and all the riches you got coming to you. You got no more. That's it. All that's left is wrath. All that's left is punishment. Woe to you who are well fed now. who are well-fed, who don't lack for anything, that we always satisfy all of our appetites. We don't have any more appetite left over for Jesus. We don't have any more appetite left over to leave for other people. I was convicted of this morning when I was driving in, and on the way I was really hungry, so I stopped by a fast food restaurant, and because it's been ingrained in me to always go for what's on sale, they had a two for some special price deal, and I got that. And being so hungry, I finished both of those sandwiches before I came close to New York City. And as you come close to New York City, as you're driving, all the entranceways into Manhattan, there are always people asking for money. There's always people panhandling. And I was just sitting there with an overly full stomach. I'm like, yeah, one of those sandwiches would have been enough. And I said, if I only had eaten slower, I could have given my sandwich to this guy that's on the side of the road. I could have blessed him with some hot food on this Easter morning. Woe to who are well fed, who just care about filling their own stomachs, scratching their itches, filling your appetites. Because it's only Friday, and Sunday's coming, for you will go hungry. You're going to go hungry. Woe to you who are laugh now. Woe to you, pity upon the person who fills their life with entertainment, who fills their life with laughter. Not the laughter of joy, not the laughter of Christ, but the laughter of this world. Woe to you when you fill your life with entertainment, with TV shows, video games, with all sorts of entertainment this world has to offer. Because it's only Friday. Sunday's coming, and you will mourn and weep. We're comparing people who take all they can from this life and they live it to themselves. And they don't realize there's an eternity still yet to come. Is it getting uncomfortable a little yet? Feeling very well fed? Spent last night, watching funny videos on YouTube. Got plenty of money in the bank account. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. From the outside, we're like, man, I want those things. These are the things that our ancestors came to this country for. And these are the things that our parents want for us. But she says, whoa. Whoa. These people are the pitiable people. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. When you tell everyone what they want to hear. When you don't say anything that makes anyone uncomfortable, because it's only Friday. But Sunday's coming, and this is how their fathers treat the false prophets. And it's the opposite of verse 23. Instead of rejoicing and leaping for joy, for great is your reward in heaven, the exact opposite. Sorrow, sadness, no reward, only condemnation. All of the grace and all the gifts that God gives you in this world, if you use it all for yourself, if you live for all those, God says, when the time comes and the judgment seat arrives, if you are under woe, you're going to be separated from everything good, everything pleasant, because every good thing comes from God. Every good thing comes from God. Encouragement, warning. We live in Friday. Even though we have this resurrected Jesus, even though we have joy, even though we have the power of God with us, yet we do experience this Friday. What does your Friday look like? Take a look at Jesus' sermon. As you follow Jesus, would you say, man, my Friday stinks, and I'm looking forward to Sunday? Because when Sunday comes, Jesus, you're going to make everything right. You're going to replace my sadness with joy. You're going to replace my ashes with a crown. Or are we looking at our Friday, we're looking at our life and saying, my life is good. I'm not even looking forward to heaven because I'm just enjoying it right now. It's only Friday. And Friday's around for a limited time only because Sunday's coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this Easter Sunday. We thank you that we can follow you and that, like disciples, Lord, we come and we are unqualified. But yet, in the power of the cross and the power of what you did, we can follow you. We can be your children. We can be your sons and your daughters. Help us to live with Easter in our hearts. Help us to live looking forward to the greater fulfillment, the full fulfillment of your kingdom. That even now on this earth, Lord, we have a little taste. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the assurance of salvation. Lord, but your kingdom has not fully come. It's still only Friday. Help us to live like it's Friday. And Lord, let us look forward. Let us put our hope. Let us put our treasure. Let us invest our lives for Sunday. Because Sunday is coming. When Sunday comes, that joy will never be taken away from us. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.